Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, chapter 11. And beginning to read at verse 4. It says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to the intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'" They said, "There's nothing at all except this manna." We're going to look today and try to stay on focus if we can, but I've entitled the message, "Don't Allow Life to Become Ordinary." Don't allow your life to become ordinary. The children of Israel, if you know the story behind what's going on here, the children of Israel had gone into the promised land, or on the way into the promised land, I should say, in the wilderness right now. They crossed the Red Sea, and they were going into the promised land. So in the meantime, because of their grumbling, complaining, anyway, the children of Israel are going into the promised land, on the way to the promised land, and they were complaining. God gave them manna every day. If you go back into Exodus, a different place, you read this. God gave them manna that came down from heaven, landed on the ground. The Bible says when you ate it, it tasted like, in book of Exodus tells us it tastes like wafers with honey. Here in this chapter, it tells us it tastes like fresh oil. And the Jewish rabbis, even today, they say that the manna, because the Bible referred to it in Psalms as angels' food. This is food that came down from heaven. And the Jewish rabbis said that in their understanding of it, and in the language as they read into the language, that the food tasted palatable and delicious to every person. It was something that every person would enjoy, and something that, you know, was good for everybody. Notice that it was the mixed multitude that complained, that started the complaining. That's one of your things in your cell list, and so remember that. It was a mixed multitude. These were Egyptians that came across the Red Sea mixed in with the Israelites. And so they had, you know, no relationship with God and things like that. So they started to grumble and complain, and that sort of got contagious and went over into the children of Israel, and they started to complain. And they said, "All we have before our eyes is this manna. All we can see is this manna." They get tired of it. There's lots of times in life that we just take for granted sometimes the blessings of God. We take them for granted and sometimes don't appreciate what God has done for us. And this is what we're going to try to look at today and try to draw some understanding from this. And I was thinking as I was reading this week, I read a joke a while ago. It was only very short. But anyway, it was talking about eating things, so that's what made me think of it. Two cannibals, were eating a clown. And one looked at the other, he said, "This tastes funny to you?" You get that later. Anyway, but the children of Israel had let God's blessings become just routine, just normal, just take it for granted, and lost their appreciation for it, lost their amazement of it, lost the awe of what God was doing. A lot of times in life, God has done things for us, and when it happens, we're all excited about it, and we think, this is wonderful. But then 2 weeks down the road, 3 weeks down the road, we just sort of get used to it and just, go on. And this is what was happening here with the manna. They were starting to complain, and all we can see is this manna that's before us. Now, as I said, don't allow life to become ordinary. Now, the word ordinary, I'll look up two or three words here, actually. The word ordinary, it means to have no special or distinctive features. There's nothing special about it anymore. To be normal, to be the usual thing, to be standard, to be typical, to be common, to be habitual, customary, everyday, regular, and routine. This is what the word ordinary means. So, a lot of times we get up in the morning and we say, man, you get up, you go to work, you get all these different things, you go through the cycle over and over and over. And we have to be careful that we don't allow that to become just normal, just a routine that we always go through and lose the excitement of it. And somebody said this about being normal. This is one of the quotes I found online. I don't even know who said it. But it says, don't be normal. This is what it's saying. Don't be normal. Sadly, normal is getting dressed in clothes that you buy for work and driving through traffic in a car that you financed in order to get to the job that you don't really like, but that you need to pay for the clothes and buy the car and live in the house that you leave vacant all day so that you can afford to live in it. That's being normal. Just going through a routine over and over and over again. But we have to be careful not to lose our enthusiasm, our passion for life. The word enthusiasm comes from a Greek word, entheos. Now, theos, as you know, is God. It's inspired by God. That's what the word means. It means an intense and eager enjoyment, an interest or approval, eagerness, keenness, fervor, passion, zeal, zest, gusto, energy, vigor, and fire. These are some of the words that you use for enthusiasm. But the word, as I said, comes from a Greek word, entheos. It means to be inspired by God. And that's what enthusiasm is. And we should get up every day, and you know this as well as I do, that enthusiasm or joy or peace or happiness or excitement or whatever you want to term it, it's a choice that we have to make. We can get up in the morning and decide that I'm going to be miserable today. A lot of people do that. But we can also get up in the morning and say, listen, I'm going to, like David said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we need to make that conscious decision to get up in the mornings and be glad and rejoice in what God has done for us. It went on to say, so when you are enthusiastic, it means God's favor is upon you. When you are passionate about something, God is going to inspire you. He's going to breathe in your direction, and cause things to come into your life. You know what it's like sometimes? You meet around people, and I've said this ever since I've been here, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times. No one likes to be around negative people. Right? No one likes to be around somebody that's whining all the time. But you get, on the other hand, you get somebody that's enthusiastic about something, somebody that's excited about something, everybody's just running to them, see what's up, what they're doing. Because there's some, they say that, if a leader is always going around discouraged all the time and frustrated all the time and never happy all the time, his followers are going to be the same way, if he's got any followers. But if you wake up and you face each day with excitement and zest and gusto and all these other words that was put in there, you wake up in the morning and face life like that, make a decision to do it. Because I guarantee you, the time you walk out to the kitchen, there's going to be something going across your mind to make you discouraged. You've got to make up your mind that I'm going to be happy today. I'm going to rejoice. As David said, this is a day that God has given to us, and let's rejoice in it. So some people going through life, have lost their passion in life, lost their desire to do things, lost the excitement and the enthusiasm in life. And these things happen because sometimes there's setbacks. Sometimes there's setbacks at work. Maybe you're expecting to get a raise or something, or maybe you're expecting to get a promotion and it never worked out. Maybe there's setbacks in your family. Maybe there's setbacks in your health, in your finances. There's lots of things. And when these things happen, a lot of times we just lose our excitement and say, what's the point? And we just throw up our hands and just, cave into it. But no, we need to say, even beyond that, say, listen, God is still in control of everything. God still knows where I'm at, and he's still got a good plan for me, and I'm going to rejoice in this day and keep my eyes upon Jesus. As long as we keep our eyes upon him, the Bible tells us, don't look at the things on the earth. He said, but look at the things that are above. And once we start to realize and get our eyes upon Jesus and start to realize what he's done for us and the plans that he's got for us, God said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a good ending, and this is God's desire for us. He said, not plans to harm you. So we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus and realize that God has got a plan and something that's exciting for us. A lot of times we start out in life, we're excited about different things. Maybe you got dreams that you figure you're going to fulfill, and you get out of school sometimes and you think, I'm going to get a training in this, I'm going to go to university or go to college or whatever the case might be, or get a job somewhere, and I'm going to start doing this. And maybe it starts out pretty good for the first little while, but then the rubber meets the road and a problem comes up you never planned on. And you got to, divert your energies in that area for one. And some other thing comes up, and you're just back and forth. And pretty soon it's easy to get discouraged and say, what's the point of any of this? You know, and a lot of people, they tell us of people, you know, don't commit suicide because they're going through problems. People commit suicide when they figure there's no way out. There's absolutely no way to get out of this. And that's when people lose hope. But as long as you can keep your hope alive, God has got a plan for us and God is going to bring us through things. See, sometimes, as I said, we start up with all this gusto in life. And because of all the setbacks and because of all the bad breaks that we've had, sometimes we just exist. We just go through the motions. You know, sometimes people do that in their marriages. Just go through the motions. You know, they do it at their job. I'm just going to go through the motions. You know, work to rule. I'm not going to do anything extra. I'm just going to be, you know. And we lose the excitement of doing things that God wants us to do. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as if you're serving God with that. Don't do it as if you're serving your employer or whatever the case. Do it as if you're serving God and how you want to please Him. This is what God tells us to do in His Word. But you see, even though you've probably gone through some of those setbacks and discouragements and frustrations and disappointments in life, we need to wake up like David, as I keep going back to that verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You got to make that decision. I will rejoice and I will be glad in this day. So when you're going through setbacks, let's make up our mind that we're going to put our eyes upon the Lord. I was looking at the news this week, and actually I was driving somewhere when I heard it first, about those two little girls up in the Ottawa area that got lost in the woods. Anybody hear that on the news? You know, and man, there's just something about the story that just, you think, how in the world can the parents, I mean, there's no way in the world they'd be able to go to sleep that night. The father, they say, was driving truck. He was in Texas. And there was just, I've wondered, one of the young girls, and it was just so heartbreaking just to hear, you know, these two little girls, 1 9, 1 11. We got grandchildren that age, you know, and just to think of them being lost in the woods, you know, all by themselves. And so I was reading a bit about it, and as you know, the story ended good. They found them the next morning, but they cuddled up together under a tree. He said they had their flannel pajamas on, and they said it could have turned out worse. He said because throughout the night, he said when they realized that they were far from the campsite, they figured they knew which way to go, but there's a river there in between, and they decided they're going to swim across the river. And they stepped out into the water. They said, but the water dragged down their pajamas, and they got afraid, and they got back to shore again, and curled up under a tree and stayed there all night. And the next morning, people were shouting out to them, and they heard the voices and called back, and they got them. They said, you know, a bit dehydrated, but apart from that, they were in good health. But I was looking at it, and actually, they said on CBC that they stopped in a Napanee restaurant. I was reading it there somewhere. They stopped in a Napanee restaurant, and CBC went and interviewed them and things like this. And the grandfather said, because all the police that were involved, and they had canine units, they had helicopters going, and they had, you know, all the different things going on there. And the grandfather said, he said, I'll never complain, he said, about paying taxes again. I never complained about paying taxes again, because he saw what the tax money was doing, was, you know, helping out in this area. And the father, as I said, the company that he was with flew him back from Texas, and he had a picture of him there holding his little girl. And he was talking about how much, you know, this meant to him, and how he didn't know, you know, life was just fell apart overnight, but now he's got a reason to live again. And a lot of times we go through life and there's things that happen to us and we get all discouraged, but you know, we need to get that passion back again. We need to really appreciate what life is all about. Sometimes you've gone through a health issue, and some of you have gone through health issues, you know, and it gives you a whole new appreciation for health and healing and strength and life itself. I got a pastor friend of ours, as you know, I've mentioned him a few times, has had back surgery and gone through some very difficult times. And sometimes he'll phone me up and he says, Steve, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just out doing this, running around or whatever I'm doing, mowing the lawn or something. And he said, man, he said, enjoy it while you got your health, you know, because once you lose it, then you appreciate a whole lot more what you had before. And we need to really appreciate what God has given to us and stir up that passion in our lives to be able to, you know, enjoy life once again. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut. We just go through the motions. We just, you know, lose direction sometimes, but we need to keep our focus upon the Lord. Every one of us, and I keep saying this over and over, and you've heard me say this dozens and dozens of times, every one of us has got a purpose in life. God has created every last one of us, and God said, I know the plans that I have for you. See, sometimes we're afraid to release things to God. We're afraid to release complete control of our families to God, or release control of our finances to God, or release control of our health to God. We're afraid that maybe God got some, you know, we don't like saying it, but in the back of our mind we think maybe God is going to try to teach me something now, and he's going to, you know. That's not from God. That's a lie from the devil. God said, I know the plan. He said, no, he said, I don't have plans to harm you. He said, I got plans, he said, to prosper you and bless you and give you a good expected end. That's what God wants us to do. Same thing you would plan for your children, God has planned for his children. He loves his family. And we need to understand that. So if you lost direction in life, if you're lost that zeal, that passion, that excitement, that enjoyment of life, it's time for us to wake up like David and said, this is a day that God has made, and I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to be glad, and I'm going to rejoice in it. T.D. Jakes said it this way, because sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't know what my purpose is in life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know, I believe, and I believe that God has placed every one of us on this planet, and he's given us all a purpose to be here. There's a reason you're here this day and this hour and this generation. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I wish I lived back there. I wish I lived somewhere else. I wish I could live 100 years in a row and see what all the new technology is going to be. No, God's got a purpose for you to be right here, right now. Matter of fact, God's got a purpose for you to be here in the service this morning. I've come to understand that over the years. God, you know, when he gives a message, and not only for me, but any person that's, you know, delivering messages from God, when he gives that message, I believe there's a reason God has given that. Because God wants us to buck up, so to speak, and start to enjoy our existence here on the earth. Not just go through just existing and just barely getting along, just, you know, getting in a rut and staying there. God wants us to enjoy life. Not like the children of Israel said, all we have is this manna. After God, I mean, you understand, this was down to them, it was palatable, it was enjoyable to them, but the mixed multitude, the ones that had no relationship with God, they start to grumble and complain, and, you know, you fellows are always going to church. What do you see in church all the time? The mixed multitude. And then you start getting discouraged. This is why it's important, the Bible tells us, to think on the right things. Don't allow people in your life who's going to be always negative about the church and negative about the pastor, negative about this person, negative about the board, negative about the finances, negative. That's a recipe for disaster. Get around people that's going to encourage you and build you up and give you something to look forward to. And the mixed multitude start to complain. And said, oh, we wish we had the meat that we had before. We wish we had this, wish we had that. And all of a sudden that complaining spilled over into the Israelites, and they start to complain. And then they got mad and they start to cry and complain to God and complain to Moses. And they said, our whole being, they said, has gone dry, which is a lie. They said, our whole being has gone dry, and all we have is this manna before our eyes. They were disappointed in God's blessings. Don't ever get disappointed in God's blessings. Thank God for what he's done for us. T.D. Jakes, I was going to quote what he said. He said, if you can't figure out your purpose, if you don't know what your purpose is in life, he said, figure out your passion. What is it that you're excited about? If you can't figure out your purpose, figure out your passion. He said, for your passion will lead you right into your purpose. Right into your purpose. The day we lose our excitement and our passion, our enthusiasm, the enjoyment of life, that's the day we stop living. That's the day we get to the point that life means nothing anymore. We need to rise above that. Mark Twain, you've all heard of Mark Twain. Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life, he said, is the day that you're born and the day you figure out why you were born. The purpose. You got to have a purpose in life. We used to sing a chorus one time, Dare to be a Daniel. I was telling somebody this week, we were talking about it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Remember Daniel had to stand when everybody's bowing down to the images and all these different things? Dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to have that purpose. God wants us to understand that there's a purpose for everything that we go through in life, but there's a purpose that he's created us all for. David said, "This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Let's not be like the Israelites who took things for granted. Maybe God has blessed you sometime and, you know, you were all excited about it when it happened. But now all of a sudden, you know, you've lost that enjoyment. That's not my phone. I don't have one. There's a phone somewhere. But anyway, don't lose the excitement, the enthusiasm, the enjoyment of what God has blessed you with. Maybe, you know, when you married your spouse, you got married, you're all excited because this was, man, this was the pride and joy of my life. You know? You see your husband, he's tall, dark, and handsome, walking down the aisle, or standing up in front, I guess, the man would. And now he's not so dark and he's not so handsome. And don't lose that excitement. You know? Or your wife, you know, when you fell in love with her and you know, you know what they tell us happens? I mean, this is not my thing. This is what they tell us. What happens? You marry somebody that you absolutely love. You love the way she smiles. You love the way she laughs or the way she talks about something or the way, you know. But after you're married 4 or 5 years, that's the very same things that bug you. You know? Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow it to happen. Learn to enjoy her constantly. Learn to enjoy your husband constantly. Maybe it's your children. You know what it's like Dave mentioned this morning. You know what it's like when a new baby is born? I mean, I was looking at the text. I still got him on the phone. I mean, you know, Dave texted me. He said, "What's it? Yippee-yay, just Abby's on her way," or something like that. You know? And because there's all excitement when the children, you know, when they're born, you take them up. I mean, you count all their toes and make sure they got them all and their fingers and everything else. You're playing with their hair. And, you know, you're just all excited because this is a miracle. I mean, you look at the child, you know. We say, that's a miracle from God. But then they become teenagers. You say, "God, why'd you do this?" You know, learn to enjoy them. Children, the Bible says, are a heritage. They're a gift from God. Let's learn to always appreciate the blessings of God. Not be like them to, you know, start criticizing what God has given to us. Let's wake up every morning like David and say, "This is a day that God has made. Not the devil, not circumstances or anything else. This is a day that God made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it." As I said, being passionate is a choice. Choose to be delighted in your family. Maybe you got a new car. You know, be excited about it. But don't lose, you know, once it gets dirty, lose the excitement. Go wash it up again, clean it up again, vacuum it. You know, I remember years ago, we were looking for thinking about getting a new car. This was years ago before I was in ministry. And I went out and I started to clean up the car that we had. It wasn't much. Started to clean it up and touch up a little bit of paint here, a little bit of paint there. And after she was cleaned up, she didn't look too bad after all. I kept it, you know. A lot of times we just let things, you know, discourage us. But we need to just have a different outlook on things. Maybe you got a new house, you know. Don't get to the place where it becomes common. Every time you go in there, say, "Thank God that God has blessed us with this." You know, let's get to the place that we appreciate the blessings of God in our lives. Don't allow today to become ordinary. Don't allow your life to become ordinary. Maybe there's new friendships. Maybe God brought somebody new into your life, some new friend or something. As you know, but after you've been around them for a few days and they do something you don't like, you say, "Well, you know, I thought it was going to be okay, but I guess no." Listen, we're all different. They get frustrated with you too. You got to understand that, you know. But let's not allow it to become just common and ordinary. Let's appreciate what God has brought into our lives, your church family. You know, appreciate what God has done there. Learn to see God in everything. Here's another step we should go through. Learn to see God in everything. Albert Einstein, you've all heard talk of him. He said, "There's only two ways to live your life." He said, "One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other way is as though everything is a miracle." That's pretty good from Albert Einstein. He said, live your life. He said, there's only two ways, rather, he said, to live your life. To see nothing as a miracle, or to see everything as a miracle. And as believers, we should see everything as miracles from God. Every blessing that we have comes from Him. And, we need to get to the place that we see God in everything. I've heard years ago, we were in Toronto in a service. We're just visiting a church there. And Pastor Ron Hembry, he's dead now and gone on to be with the Lord. But he preached on John the Baptist, and it stuck with me, and I've mentioned a dozen times here. He preached on John the Baptist. John the Baptist got discouraged. He was cast into prison, and life became routine. You know, you had guards around him all the time, and you know, and he got discouraged in the prison because John, as you know, John preached under the old covenant. He was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And John was preaching hellfire and brimstone. He was coming out and he was, you know, condemning people. The axe was laid at the root and God was going to cut it down, and this was, you know, all these different things. And Jesus came along and he was picking up little babies in his arms and kissing them and healing people and blessing them and feeding them. And John got discouraged and he said, "Man, is that the fellow we were supposed to be looking for?" Honestly, John said, he sent some of his disciples, he called them to the prison. He said, "Listen, go and ask that fellow, are you really the one that we're looking for, or should we be looking for someone else? Because you're not doing it the way that I thought you were going to do it." You know, you ever get discouraged like that sometimes? You know, and Jesus sent John's disciple back to tell John. He said, "You tell John," he said, "the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, you know, the poor's got the gospel preached in them." And he said, "Tell him," he said, "blessed is he who is not offended in me." Now, what he means by that, blessed is the person that's, just because he doesn't understand something, is not going to turn his back on God. Just because he doesn't understand what's going on, he's not going to throw in the towel and give it up, but he sees God in everything. Whatever goes on, I can see God's hand in it. And when we get to the place that we see God in everything, life takes on a whole new meaning. Don't allow yourself to get ordinary, your life become ordinary. Don't let things become just routine in your life. Don't lose that awe, that wonder, that excitement, that amazement when God blesses you. In the Bible tells us that they set up some stones. God told them to set up some stones. And they called it Ebenezer. And God said, because, and what the word means is, thus far, or up to this point, God has led us. And God said, set those stones up. They called it Ebenezer. Thus far the Lord has led us. And he said, set that up so when you're coming around this way again, when a problem arises again, when your family's passing through this way in generations to come, they'll say, "What's those stones all piled over there for?" And he said, "You could go back and tell them," he said, "what God has done, the blessings that God has bestowed upon you." Maybe in our own life sometimes we need to set up some little Ebenezers. Maybe the Lord has healed you. You know, maybe you need to take something and just put it one side and say, "Listen, I'm going to keep that as a, maybe as a the bracelet from the hospital or something. I don't know. I'm just going to keep that as a reminder of what God has done for me." Set up little Ebenezers. Don't allow everything to become just normal, just routine, just everyday thing, just the way it is. Don't get into that rut. See God in everything. See God's blessings in everything. No matter what you're going through. I know a man in Newfoundland, he had a little girl that was crippled, and he prayed for her, and she had these braces on her legs and different things, and you know, to keep her legs till the bones got strong and things like this. And he prayed for her, and he took the braces off, and she walked, and she's, you know, my age, so she's not young anymore. And Sharon said, "No." But anyway, she's not young anymore. The Lord forgive her. But he kept those braces and got hung up downstairs in his basement in the rec room as a reminder of God's healing touch on his little girl. Sometimes we need to do that. Put little reminders of what God has done for us. Some people, you know, the first check they get, the first dollar they made, some people put that and they keep that for, that's a reminder. But don't just say, "This is what I've done." No, this is what God brought into my life. This is how God has blessed me. Don't allow life to become just routine. Learn to get happy where you are. Now, I never said learn to be happy, but learn to get happy. There's a difference. Learn to make yourself happy where you are. He said, "Well, I'm not happy where I'm at. Change your focus. Start looking for things that will make you happy. I remember years ago, I was working in Toronto, and there was a few jobs in the shop that, you know, nobody wanted to do. Right? We were working at a glass shop. A few jobs nobody wanted to do. And I was saying to somebody, I didn't want to do them either. And if I knew we had to do that day, I went to work, and I was all, oh, man, I wish I stayed home, you know. But I made up my mind, no, I'm not going to do that. And I've done this a number of times over the years and different things. I made up my mind and said, no, I'm going to enjoy that. And you know, it's not hard to change your mind. It's not hard to change your mind. Just say, listen, I'm going to learn how to do that better than anyone else. You know, and put enjoyment into it, and put some zeal into it, some effort into it. The Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. You know, I mean, if I was cleaned up that shop and I knew Jesus was going to walk in there, man, I'd clean up if Prime Minister Harper was coming. You know, I mean, you put extra effort into it. And we need to be doing this very same thing because we're doing it as unto the Lord. He's our source, not our employer. He's our source. And as we get a zeal and excitement for things, all of a sudden promotions that come along and blessings that come along. You see, God has got this system worked out that if we would only follow His word and do what He tells us to do, life would be so much easier than what we put ourselves through. We need to understand that. So learn to be happy. Learn to get happy where you are. A lot of people are just waiting for the next big break. You know, waiting for some get-rich-quick scheme. Waiting for some big thing to happen in life because, you know, I'll hold on and hopefully that's going to happen. You're just wasting your life. Make yourself happy where you are. Get happy. Get happy. What's it? Don't worry, be happy. Remember that song? And you say, well, how do I get happy? How do I make myself happy? Well, sometimes you got to sow a seed for it. I'm not talking about financial seed. I'm talking about a seed. You see, whatever you're looking for, you got to sow a seed for that particular thing. And when you're trying to grow potatoes, you plant potatoes. Except Elsie. Elsie does a little different. But if you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to grow carrots, you plant carrots. But the thing is, like, if you're trying to be happy, if you're trying to produce happiness in your life, plant some seeds of happiness. Wake up in the morning and say, listen, this is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad. And go to work with a spring in your step and a smile on your face. They say smiles are contagious. Go to work. You know, somebody said, you know, if you got a smile on your face, it's either going to be contagious or people are going to start wondering what they know that I don't know. You know? But you got to plant some seeds of what you want to produce in your life. And as you're doing that, you're planting seeds, and God will honor that, and God will bring the results into our lives. Don't allow today to become just normal. Give 100% to whatever you do, all your endeavors. Consider the things that you do as a mission from God. Not a mission from the boss, not a mission from my wife or my husband or, you know, my parents or whatever. But as a mission from God, whatever you're doing, in your family, if you're cleaning dishes, I know women love that, you know, and ironing. My wife loves ironing. I keep looking this way. I probably need a ride home today. But whatever it is, do it with all your might. Do it the best that you can do. Be the best you can be in whatever you're doing. If you're working at carpentry work, do the best that you can do. If you're a doctor, thank God they do the best they can do. We need them to do the best they can do. You know? Whatever you're doing, if you're serving gas, do it better than anyone else. You're there representing God. This is a day that God has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Make up your mind, you're going to be glad. Give 100%. If you're doing things at the church, give 100% to it. Don't wake up in the morning and say, oh man, I wish I wasn't on the door today. I know you fellows don't talk like that. You know? I wish I never said I'd do this. I wish I'd never said I'd work, you know, be up in the worship team. I wish I just never, you know. No, give it all you have. Give it the best that you can do. God honors that. And when we start doing that, God's blessings start breathing down our way and will propel us along. You know, no matter what it is, if you're working in a sound booth, projection up there, Do the best. And I honestly, I say this from the bottom of my heart. You fellows are the best. Honestly. But whatever you're doing, do it all for the glory of God, the Bible says. If it's at work, as I said, do the best you can do there. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Wherefore, or whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Do it all to the glory of God. Nelson Mandela, he said, "There is no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one that you're capable of living." God has planted great seeds in every one of us. And for us to live our lives less than that is a shame. You know, we ought to appreciate the blessings of God. Learn to love what you do, somebody said. If you don't love what you do, you won't do it with conviction or passion. Learn to love what you're doing. Just a couple more things. Don't compare yourself with someone else. You say, "Pastor, you know, I'd be okay if, you know, if I could go out and buy a new car." You don't know how long that one was coming. "I'd be okay if I had a new car, if I had a new house, or if I had a new wife or new husband or whatever the case. You know, everything would be okay." No. Live the life that God gave to you and enjoy the life that God gave to you. Don't compare yourself to other people. You're always going to find somebody who's healthier. You're always going to find somebody that's richer, that's got more going for them. And if you're looking at that all the time, you're always going to be discouraged. You look at your friend's husband, and you know, he looks like he just came from the gym, all built up and everything else. You look at your husband, he looks like he came from McDonald's. You know? Learn to enjoy what God has given you in your life. Sometimes, you know, you plan a trip. And you say, well, you know, you get all excited. Summer holidays, we're going to plan a trip, and everything is wonderful. Until you talk to your friend, they say, "Oh, we're going to Disney World this year. And then we're going to go to the beach, and we're going to go to Arizona, and we're going to see the Grand Canyon, and we're going for a full month." All of a sudden, your trip down to Fort Henry don't seem all that exciting anymore. You know, don't try to compare yourself to other people. Learn to be content with what you have. Learn to thank God for his blessings. Don't become like the children of Israel. All we have is this manna. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? They brought out a little lunch. I mean, they could have easily said, "All we have." One disciple says, "What's that amongst so many? We don't have anything." But Jesus took it and blessed it. Thank God for it. Thank God for what you have in your life. Thank God for the little things in your life. Thank God for the blessings. And God will bless you with it. God will increase those blessings. There's people, you know, sometimes they never satisfied with their complexion. They're always putting creams on to make them darker or make them lighter or, you know, going to tanning beds and trying to get darker, and you get some dark people just putting creams on them trying to get whiter. You know? Seems like we're never content. We're always wanting to be like someone else. Grass is always greener on the other side. But when you get on the other side, you find there's no better than what you had yourself. You know? Let's learn to be content in what God has blessed us with. Stay productive in your life. Don't quit. There's a candy store in New York City I read years ago. They had a slogan outside, and they said, "We have no competitor except yesterday." In other words, we're going to try to do better than we did yesterday. That's how we ought to be in life. Don't get to the place where you say, "Well, you know, life has mean nothing." No, you've got no competitor except yesterday. Try to do better. Try to improve yourself. Don't try to get better than me, or me try to get better than you, or you try to get better than someone else. Just try to get better than what you are right now. Work at your own life. You understand that? If you do that, life won't be normal, or won't be ordinary anymore. Life would be exciting. It'd always be something to reach forward to. Walt Disney said, I was reading a quote by him the week. Walt Disney said, "I don't repeat," he said, "my successes." He said, "If I do something and it's successful," he said, "I put that in the background," and he said, "I look for something else to do." You know, and I think it's what we ought to be doing. Like, thank God for all the blessings and everything else, but let's keep moving on. Keep trusting God and keep, because God has got a good future for every one of us. What lies ahead of us is far greater than what, you know, lies behind us. Let's not keep looking back there. Let's keep looking ahead, because God's got some good things in store for us. Don't ever get discouraged. Don't allow your life to become normal. George Eliot was a British writer back in the 1800s. He said, it's never too late to be what you might have been. It's never too late to be what you might have been. A lot of times we go through life and say, oh man, I should have done this. I might have been this. I should have tried. I probably would have been okay if I did that. You know, listen, it's never too late to be what you could have been. Don't lose that vision. Don't lose that hope. Keep focus on that. A Chinese proverb says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. You get that? In other words, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep learning. Don't quit. Don't be like the children of Israel, throw it all in and say, listen, you know, our souls are dried up and all we have is this manna. Thank God for the manna. Don't allow it to become normal. Don't allow it to become ordinary. Don't allow it to become common. Thank God for his blessings. Some people just give up, you know, to go through a setback in life, some bad break in life. And a lot of people stop living at that point. There's people, and you know people as well as I do, that stopped living 20 years ago. They're still existing. They're still on the planet. And you bury them probably 5-10 years in the road. But they stopped living 10 years ago because something happened in their life. Or some people get up and say, well, you know, once I retire, then I'm going to, you know, nothing else to live for. No, you might retire from your job, but don't retire from life. God has still got some blessings ahead for you yet. You know, sometimes, and you look at, you say, well, Pastor, you know, you're okay. You're only just a young man, you know. And you say, well, you know, I've been retired for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and I'm just waiting to go home. Well, thank God there's a home for us to go to, but let's enjoy the journey as we're going. Let's enjoy what we're going through. God has got some good things in store for us. So to wrap it up, don't take God's blessings for granted. Learn to see God in everything. Learn to get happy where you are. Give 100% to all your endeavors. And don't allow life to become ordinary. Don't allow it to become just mundane, routine. Always look for the good blessings of God. Praise God.